I'm sure there's a story behind that, and I probably don't want to know.
Yeah, well, I'm the one who said it, and I can't remember the story.
Yep.
Shows you how old I am.
This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and with us here today, we have NOAA.
That's NOAA. The
National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration.
They administer it?
Yeah.
They tell it what to do?
That's right. They tell
How's that working out for you guys?
Especially with that Canada wildfire stuff.
Anyway, these gentlemen are hurricane hunters.
Well, it's more than that. They're doing uncrewed aircraft systems, and I keep looking at this and I keep thinking it's unscrewed aircraft systems.
Whoa. So you're actually thinking of flying unmanned aerial into hurricanes?
So we did that this last year.
Okay.
We've done it in a few years past, but last year was probably the most successful one. And
that means it came back.
No, but it sent a lot of really good data back.
So will that give you the ability to penetrate places and storms that you would not take a crewed aircraft into?
Correct. So one of the real important areas of a hurricane is the low altitude. You get that boundary layer, and you get all that science stuff that's going on with the hurricane, and it's just a little dangerous for manned aircraft to go down there, so we can send this thing down there and get a lot of data back. And the current way we do it is we have a drop sonde, and that'll give you a vertical slice of the atmosphere, and depending on what altitude you're at, you'll get 10 to 15 20 minutes worth of data just in a vertical slice. With the UAS platform, you can get about an hour to 2 hours of data, and then you can also direct it into those really dangerous areas.
Okay, now is this a fixed wing or is it a multi-rotor? What kind of a vehicle is this?
Yeah, so it's a fixed wing. It folds up, and once it's ejected out of the aircraft, it'll kind of unfold, gather itself, and then do its thing.
Okay, so this is a small aircraft. I was thinking like a, you know, Reaper kind of size thing.
No, it's pretty about that size, about 3-4 feet for one model. The other one's probably about 2 feet.
Wow.
Basically, it's a model airplane.
Correct.
Very sophisticated, but still a model airplane.
Right. Now, totally autonomous flight path, or is there a guy flying it?
So right now it does both. You have kind of a little bit of AI going on. You can program five different kind of flight profiles in it. And then you also have the capability of, from the mother aircraft, the P3, to be able to direct it, change it.
So it fits into one of those sonotube drop tubes.
Correct.
Wow. You know, it's a bad day when the AI, last transmission from the AI is, oh, crap.
Yeah. or worse yet, watch this.
So it's loaded up with what kinds of sensors?
So it's basically got the same sensors that the drop sonde has. So it'll give you pressure, temperature, humidity, wind direction, wind speed, things like that.
And GPS location, I'm assuming.
Correct.
So you can plot exactly where you're at.
Absolutely.
I'm assuming that this aircraft is a one-shot deal. You kick it out the airplane and mission accomplished, and it goes glug into the ocean.
It is. Hopefully in the future, one nice thing would be is if once it landed, that it would turn into a drift buoy. But first things first.
Yeah. Yeah, prove the technology, then we can play with it.
Absolutely.
Well, what kind of altitudes do you consider to be the dangerous level for a manned aircraft?
So we used to go a little bit lower, but I think 5,000 feet is about kind of the area where you kind of don't want to go lower. But definitely below 1,000 feet is where you definitely don't want to be. And that's where a lot of that.
Yeah, I don't want to be anywhere in a hurricane.
But that's where that interaction with the water and the storm. And so that's where a lot of the scientists really like a lot of that data.
Okay, so that's the where the energy is building the storm or whatever.
Yeah.
As you said, that's where all the science stuff is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, how many of these aircraft can you launch at one time and still keep track of the data?
So right now we're in the beginning stages with this. So we're doing one at a time.
Right. Yeah. And it's obviously uplinking real time because you can't retrieve it to get the data back. So
correct.
All right. So that's the most important thing. Make sure the uplink is working before you drop it out of the airplane.
Yeah, or it's going to be
a useless flight.
Yes.
I was going to say, what's the cost of one of these aircraft?
So right now, it depends. We have different some different flavors. So one of them's about 60, 70K, and then the other one's about 10K.
Okay, so a little bit more than what a Horizon Hobby model would cost.
Definitely. Have you guys ever thought about asking Horizon Hobby to get you involved? could be a great way of saving. And
yep.
You know, once again, there's a model pilot on board the P3 having a good time.
So right, this clever.
This is right now. You're still strictly developing the whole system and idea. So you don't have an idea of how many airplanes you would take with you on an average flight and how long you would use them.
Yeah, and so, you know, as it becomes more successful, you would hope you'd get that.
Right,
that
you know, leave more manufacturing. 10 airplane. Yeah. I guess it has a, it also depends on the duration capability of the P3, how long it can stay in the storm to drop more of them.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you may have a very busy summer.
Yeah. Really?
The water temperature is hot enough, for sure.
Oh, my goodness. And that's the one thing that struck me. They're not going to lose energy as they come into the Gulf. If anything, it might even get warmer, so you're going to be busy.
Yeah. Hopefully we get the turn to the right there, goes out in the Atlantic.
The models never agree on that one.
Well, you know, and that's another reason that you're doing all these aircraft is to try to pin that model down, make it a little more predictable. Because, you know, right now it's... You're just using the weather Ouija board to figure out which way it's going to go.
Well, the P3s and the G4s do a really good job of when they go out there and fly and get that data, and then that data goes into the models, that they do a really good job of narrowing that track down. And so anything that can be used to improve that and narrow the cone down, you see the cone, and make that... the further out you can narrow that down, and also the intensity as it hits the what is the strength of the storm going to be when it actually hits land, things like that. So anything we can do to improve that has a big impact.
You're more concerned with understanding the mechanics of the storm, though, you know, learning about that.
We do both. Okay. So we have a research component, but we also augment the models and things like that.
Okay.
Well, you mentioned something very interesting. Now, I knew they use P3s and on occasion C-130s, but you're now using Gulfstream G4s?
Yeah, so we've actually used we've had the Gulfstream G4 for quite a while now, 25 years or so. And what that does is that'll typically go around the storm, and it gets the synoptic flow. And so that, I believe, it's been a little while, but I believe when they incorporated that, you saw a 20% increase in accuracy in those models.
Well, that's impressive right there.
All right, so you're circling the storm. You're not actually penetrating it with the G4.
Correct.
Okay, that makes sense, because I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you could wash out a jet engine, which would be very bad.
Yeah, plus your airspeed's probably a little high for that turbulence.
Yeah, that might be a little gust loading issue on the wings. We'll send those guys in the propeller plane. They'll do anything.
I hate to say it, but they do pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Those guys, they don't have a smooth ride at all.
Seatbelt fastened.
Yeah, definitely. Tray tables upright.
Yeah, they're not using that turbulence system yet.
When you're throwing a P3 into a storm, what's the typical duration of the flight?
I think it's probably about 8 hours, somewhere around in there. Ooh, 8-9 hours.
That's a long time in bumpy air.
They don't stay in the storm the entire 8 hours, do they?
Well, it depends on where the storm's at. And so if the storm is, you know, if we have to fly quite a ways to hit the storm, but as it gets closer, you spend more time in the storm. So
okay.
It makes for a long day some days.
Yeah, and don't eat.
I was going to say, imagine the pilot's got a cup of coffee and they hit a big bump.
Ugh. No thanks.
Yeah.
I would be on boning for at least 2 days prior to the flight.
I would be thinking to myself, I'm not going, period. Let the pros handle this.
So where are you guys on the field?
So we're located in Hangar D.
Hangar Delta?
Yes, and today at 1330, we have a forum to talk about how we use uncrewed aircraft systems within NOAA. So we have 6 different line offices. We've got over 134 platforms that our scientists are using across the country. And our office is responsible for organizing training and equipment.
So that's balloon radio sounds all the way down.
Right. So there's several different platforms that they're using for, you know, science, research, and development. And our office is responsible for making sure that they're doing everything accurately.
Do you guys have video on YouTube by any chance?
There are some videos on YouTube, yes. We are actually showing some today at our forum, so hopefully we can get the kids over and we can talk about the Muppets a little more.
The Muppets.
Yes. It seems like a lot of kids don't know what the Muppets are nowadays. So.
No, they don't, but I can't imagine there's a Muppet hurricane hunter.
Right.
I could just see the Swedish guy, he's bouncing around in the airplane.
Worse than that animal would be the pilot.
Oh, yeah. G4 is Gondo, and then Miss Piggy's a P3. So.
There you go. All right.
All right. Well, somehow that has a way of working. Do you guys put GoPro cameras all over the airplane just for fun?
Yes, we have some videos going on right now at our booth showing the G4 in flight.
Now, they have a contest when they land called Compare the Air Sick Bag.
Yeah.
All right. I want to thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. I'm Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.